Unveiling of God, 1964. Remember the prayer requests we've been mentioning, some of the old prayer requests there. We want to keep holding up Sister Mary Kamani in the rehab, and then Sister Johnny, can you remember her? Brother Bob and family, I believe he's in Ohio today. Let's remember them. And then all those in Ruth, North Carolina, affected by the COVID outbreak there. Let's be in prayer for them this morning. Sister Barbara, she went the other day to the pulmonary doctor or clinic, not feeling well. Let's continue to hold her up in prayer. And then Sister Rebecca Atkins says, please remember Mom, Sister Anna. She is having daily injections at the hospital to take care of the UTIs. Please pray she is clear tomorrow so she can have the cystoscopy. Is that right? Yeah, on Tuesday. So remember Sister Anna Kennard. And then Brother Terrence, he's getting an MRI on Tuesday for his shoulder. So let's remember Brother Terrence on Tuesday for that. All unspoken requests. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful and excited to be here, Lord, today, Lord, once again for another service. Pray you bless all these spoken requests, Lord, and all those who raise their hands with unspokens. Just meet all those needs according to your will, I pray. Help Brother George ministering for us here this morning, and be with all those there affected by the COVID outbreak there in North Carolina. Just touch them, Lord, and just help the ministers, the visiting brothers, to be able to still get the offerings they need for their mission work, I pray. And just bless all the other ministers and bride around the world. Pray touch Brother Terrence, Lord, with that MRI on Tuesday. Let everything go for him there. Pray and touch him, take away whatever problem he's having there. And also Sister Anna, with those injections she's having done, just let those be effective and helpful for her. And then pray just help her to be able to have the cystoscopy and everything be okay on that test as well. And bless Sister Johnny, continue to hold her up. I pray, Lord, Brother Bob and all those who are away traveling, Lord, be with them, keep them safe. Help Sister Barbara and all the other requests we've been holding up, Lord, and Sister Mary there in the rehab. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all your blessings. Bless the Sunday school up here and also downstairs, Lord, and give us understanding of your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you be seated. And also, I'm teaching Sunday school up here this morning. So we're going to continue on what we've been on with the Love Lessons series. So just want to say, first of all, it's such a privilege, as we all realize, to be considered even the opportunity to be the bride of Christ. And something we should not take lightly, not take for granted, and really get a sense of the gravity of that situation. It's the best opportunity, I believe, that's ever been given to mankind. So that's what this lesson is all about. We're going to get into, I'll summarize the lesson here in a moment, but let's go to the Lord in prayer for just for this lesson for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, pray just help me, Lord, in teaching this lesson that you've put in my heart, and I pray it be a blessing to your people here and give them understanding of it. I pray and just help me to move out of the way and let this be a blessing and help to them in their walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as the scripture says, Revelation 19, his wife hath made herself ready. So we know there is something for us to do as the bride of Christ. I want to give a little word about Brother Dale that I didn't get to share yet as a kind of a little testimony. That we were going to go see him when we found out he was getting bad. Originally, we had decided not to visit him in ICU. We don't usually visit people in ICU for so many reasons. We're going to wait for him to come home and make him a banana pudding and go visit him at his house. Well, then that evening that we found out he was so bad that we were going to go the next day when I get up, you know, to get ready for work. I sleep in the afternoon. Got up about 5 that evening, and I was going to check WhatsApp one last time, make sure it's clear to go. And turned out he went to his ward. Brother Wade had posted there, and I said, Lord, you knew that was going to happen. And so we didn't get to see him that last time. But then that next morning at the chicken farm, I always try to look for opportunities to take a picture of the sunrises. I see him every morning. I went to the back side of the farm and saw this beautiful sunrise, and I thought my dad's favorite scripture, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, Psalm 30. And I was thinking, Brother Dale, in that sunrise, you know, he'll be back. All those who have gone by the way, they'll be back. But it's a reminder every morning of the resurrection of Christ, and it's just one of the most beautiful sunrises. It's just such a consolation to me. And I want to talk a little bit about his life, too. This is not necessarily part of the lesson, but it'll tie in pretty nicely, I think. Proverbs 13, the good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. So all four of my grandparents that passed away, couple of them, I got to speak at their funeral just to give a few words, and I always used this scripture, because all of them, in one way or another, left an inheritance, not a penny of money. It was an inheritance of a life lived, a legacy that they showed me my way to Christ. And both my grandfathers were pastors. My dad's parents were missionaries in East Pakistan. My dad sort of grew up there for a short time in his elementary years, you know. And they left such a legacy for me in that way, to teach me to read the Bible and pray and go to church. And so Brother Dale did that. He left us an example of a life lived. But then all these sermons that we now have of his that our brothers have so graciously put on the internet, even consolidated them into series. You got the Seal series in 82 and the Matching Pieces in 93. And Gab and I are working, we've been working for several years re-listening to the Seals he preached in 82 and 83. And also starting on the Adoption series, we're going back listening to that. And we can just glean over these things. That's an inheritance and a legacy that he left to us. But that life lived, when he would stand up here as a revelated person and not bragging, but he would tell us drop these little hints, 6 books a day, 2 tapes. You know, he was accused of being a 2-year theologian because he studied so much. So if I would look at him and I'd say, well, how did he get where he's at? I want to be where he's at on that revelation ladder. And I'd take that revelation recipe, 6 books a day, 2 tapes. It doesn't have to be exactly that formula. You know, just meditating on the Word of God like he did constantly, listening every day. And he would say to, like, his peers, you know, some people had equal opportunity to come to that level of revelation that came in the message alongside him. And years later, he's sort of left them, and they're still preaching God sent a prophet. And he's over here preaching the Seals and Daniel 70 weeks. And he'd say, what have you been doing, reading Greer's Almanac? You know, he always made that statement, Greer's Almanac. Now it's Facebook or whatever you let get in your way between you and the Lord. So don't forget, tithe your time. Just a good rule of thumb. At least 2.5 hours a day. And I know that seems like a lot of time, but if you space it out, 10 minutes of prayer in the morning, 10 minutes listening to sermon on the way to work, meditate on the Word of God if you can while you're at work, if your job allows that, have your devotional in the evening with your family, and by the end of the day, you've probably spent 2.5 hours, just a little here and a little there. And that does tie in with my lesson perfectly, because my lesson is daily bread. So love lesson part 8, our daily bread. All I'm talking about, if you lose me in all these examples, this has been my whole life story, seek ye first the kingdom of God since I was 12. If you lose me in all these nitty-gritty examples, then I want to summarize it right at the beginning. All I'm saying is, it seems like a daunting task, because the amount of word that's being revealed in our day, and you think of all of these, the Bible is a thick book, and all these sermon books that we have available, and the Seals book, and Daniel 70 Weeks, and Church Age book, all these thick books, and if you're not an avid reader, which I'm not, then it might seem intimidating. But if you just take it a day at a time, you're not looking to read the entire Bible in one day, just read your daily bread. Just a little bit here and a little bit there. Amen. And you've got 365 days a year, and that adds up. It really does. I've been reading my Bible every day since I was 15. And I see, down to the scope of time now, I see so many things that God has blessed me with through that and brought me here to the message. Amen. So many other things. Gabby and I are an anomaly. We shouldn't even be here. I mean, some of you were raised in the message, but we shouldn't be here. She was an orphan girl, tossed about from pillar to post. Never really had a solid family, much less a church family. And she prayed all that time, God, give me a family. And he brought her to a message family that wanted to adopt a boy. And at this picnic, they were meeting these potential kids they could adopt, and they took a picture of this boy. And they went home, and they got the picture developed, and it was not the boy. It was Gabby and her sister. And they said, and they were not even in the frame. And they said, well, maybe the Lord wants us to adopt those girls. Amen. So they did. Amen. And here sits Gabby today as a testament to that. Amen. That's predestination. Everybody said, well, you came with a little old seed. I didn't have a little old seed in me. I had a little seed of the serpent, you know. But what I did have is a desire for more of God, and God put the word in my path. That's predestination. The word comes predestined eternally from God, and it will find its place, but he does it through people and through books and through interactions in your life and churches and pastors and the fivefold ministry that he puts in your path, knowing what you'll do with it. That's predestination. We shouldn't be here. I would be in the Baptist church still. Sister Amy, some of y'all know my testimony that Amy Stewart then Silas. She and I were both in high school together, marching band. We dated for a while. But one day, Sister Gwen gave me a church aid book that said, God sent a prophet. And I said, oh, okay. And to the seventh church age, I said, oh, what's a church age? I'd already read the Bible by then, cover to cover. A little Baptist boy, I'd already read it, but I didn't read that. I didn't understand that. So anyway, so that's predestination. Amen. God putting somebody in your path. Amen. So do something for your goals. Brother John Durrett talks about setting goals, and I'm saying that's sort of the same thing in this lesson. Form good habits. Set goals, and then do something toward that goal every day. And in this case, I'm talking about the mysteries of God and the revelation of the Word. Make that your goal, that I want to be part of the bride. I want to understand Daniel 70 weeks. I want to understand the seals. What are you doing toward that goal? Read the seal book. If it's just a page a day, just read it. So it works a lot toward other things in your life, too. Y'all probably won't be able to see that, but I'll read it to you. This is out of that Love Dare book that Gabby and I have been reading. Love works in all areas. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified seven times. Sound like seven church ages. Psalm 12. If being a regular Bible reader is new for you, you'll be surprised how quickly you'll begin thinking differently and more eternally as you begin digesting its truth day by day. If you are serious about establishing strategies for life based on God's way of doing things, He'll guide you to make the connections between what you're reading and how it applies. It's an enlightening journey with fresh discoveries to be made all the time. God has a plan for the way you handle your money. He has a plan for the way you raise your children. He knows how you should treat your body and how you should spend your time. He has a plan for the way you handle conflict and a plan for marital success. Most any issue that you will encounter in life can be taken to the counsel of Scripture and illuminated by His perfect wisdom. After all, God designed life itself. Isn't it just like your Maker to know exactly what you need? Amen. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, that scripture. Other things in your life as you seek God every day and reading His Word, other things in life kind of start to fall into place. You know, you're with your money and your marriage and raising children. So as I was saying earlier, it's a daunting task. I'm going to use that word a lot. So daunting means tending to overwhelm or intimidate. A daunting task to think of all these sermon books and even the Bible itself, such a thick book. So, one of the key points I'm probably going to stress in this lesson is that you don't have to make yourself understand it. You do your part, and God will do His part. And so many things that seem out of reach and seem like you can't attain to it, just do your daily bread. He'll do His part. He'll put somebody in the pulpit. I read the Bible I don't know how many times and didn't understand most of it, but He'd always be faithful to put someone in the pulpit to not only answer my questions, but would make it relevant to what I just read that morning. How many times have you seen the sermon of the preacher line up with your daily reading or your devotional with your family? So, possessing the gate of the enemy after trial, Brother Banner says, when the love of God comes into the heart and you fall in love with God, He reveals Himself. The Bible meaning, the interpretation of the Bible is God Himself interpreting His promises. For the Bible is written between the lines. Brother Wade often refers to, how do you eat an elephant? It's a good analogy. I don't think anyone here has ever eaten an elephant besides me, Brother Luis. He's the only one I can think of that might try that. So if you was to eat an elephant, how would you do it? There's only one way to eat an elephant. One bite at a time. Dave Ramsey in his program talks about baby steps. You don't try to pay off your whole entire debt when you start that program all at once. You just take baby steps. Pay off the little one first, and then the next biggest one, and the next one, and so on. Baby steps. The invisible union of the bride of Christ, skip on down to the highlight, the Word became blood, the Word bled for you, and you are washed in the bleeding Word, the Word bleeding, the life of God in the Word, and the Word was bled for you, that you might be washed from the filth of these prostitutes and be cleaned and sanctified by the washing of water by the Word. It makes your mind and heart stayed on God and on His Word. Amen. So, continue on down, also again down to the yellow. And you are wearing the wedding band of predestinated, unmerited grace, a wedding band of grace unmerited of your own. Amen. God did it Himself. He knew you before the foundation of the world. So he slipped the wedding ban on you. There, he put your name on the book. What a Thanksgiving. Amen. The benefits of daily Bible reading. See, James 1. Let's skip on down to verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The man that's wavereth, okay, unstable. Naturally, we are very unstable. And but a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Ask God for wisdom and understanding, revelation of the word as you read it. He absolutely will help you understand it if you make an effort. We're talking about just your daily bread. Make an effort, no matter how small. Reading his word will give you stability both spiritually and in your life choices. 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The least little thing you do in private, in secret, in your prayer closet, God sees it, and he'll reward you abundantly for it. Your work is never in vain in the Lord. This includes your efforts of reading the Bible. He sees your effort. It teaches you to love, how to be patient, be a good spouse, how to be a good parent, how to be content, even how to receive divine healing. It's the answer to all things. So, spoken word is the original seed. This is one of my favorite quotes. Stay right with that word. Stay with that. Watch what happens. Say, Lord, I believe it. Send the Holy Spirit. Then watch. Then if he goes to bearing record, then you'll know you got it. Not by some sensation. The devils do that. Not by some miracle. The devils do that. But by your constant belief in the word of God and the life that you live, never denying nothing. Say amen to the word. You know, as you see more unfold, you say amen. Keep walking into it. You might not understand it at first. That's irrelevant. It's just the fact that you walk into it. And when I came to the message, I didn't see it. I didn't understand it at first. And it was really, I doubted it at first. But, you know, I didn't have any reason to say it's not right. So my job is open that church age book that Wynn gave me. And I took it one page a day for a whole year. It took me to read that book the first time. Comparing it with my Bible and trying to figure out if Brother Branham was trying to pull the wool over my eyes, you know, misquote a scripture or something. Yeah. It makes the word becoming flesh. See, flesh and the same water spirit. From James 4, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So let's talk about the ant for a few minutes. Proverbs 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So if we want to talk about somebody being sort of ill-equipped, I guess you might say, not able to accomplish a whole lot in comparison to like a human, you know, ants can't get a whole lot of work done in comparison to us. You know, so they're a very small creature, but they're such diligent workers. They just don't stop. They keep going, and they don't consider whether something's even possible or not. They don't look at how big the chasm maybe is that they have to cross or whatever. They just keep going. They just never stop. So some facts about ants, a lot of different species. This is just kind of broad. Okay. On average, an ant can travel about 3,000 miles in its lifetime, which is typically 1 to 3 years. That's a lot for an ant. You think about a daunting task as an ant to go 3,000 miles. Ants can travel up to 4 miles in a single day. That's pretty intimidating to think of an ant that going that far in a day. Moving at a pace of about 3 inches per second, they're able to travel such distances because they work throughout the day and night, including foraging for food at night in the spring and summer. Worker ants can travel up to 100 yards from their nest to find food. So consider the ant, very diligent worker. So in 2007, which is not the year this picture was taken, it's just a good quick picture I found of our house. That was our starter home. In 2007, we had a total debt, Gabby and I, when we got married. We started off with $150,000 of debt. Close to $100,000 on our house and $50,000 worth of new cars, clueless about handling money, not a clue. Around the time Mercy was conceived, I said, we need a bigger car. You know, everybody thinks, you know, you're going to have a baby, you got to have a bigger house and a bigger car all of a sudden, because like a baby can't fit in a small car, a baby can't fit in a small house somehow. You got to have a bigger house, bigger car. So I was thinking, like most people, let's go get some more debt. And we already owed money on both their cars, and I was going to trade one of them in and get even more debt. Mom and my sister Brooke, they said, why not consider Dave Ramsey's program? So I started listening, and I was hooked. So we started the program in 2009, 2 years into our marriage. We had about $150,000 of debt. So this is what that looks like to me. Okay, $150,000 of debt, big, huge hole like the Grand Canyon. And you might think, well, that's not that much debt, Ryan, but according to what size our shovel was, your shovel in this analogy is your income. We never had a whole lot of income. I mean, and it's a fairly modest income. It's not $200,000, $400,000 a year. You know, it's very small. So we still lived in that home by, say, it was 11 years altogether. That was supposed to be our starter home. We bought that house right before the downturn of the housing market. So we were stuck because the value of the home dropped in half, and it stayed down. Our area did not recover for about 11 years. I don't know why it took so long to recover, but it was about 11 years. We had all four of our kids there, six people, one bathroom, two bedrooms, and that 800-square-foot matchbox, little shoebox. And here we are trying to pay off debt and trying to get ahead. We sold our cars. We paid them off and bought used cars, and that helped us advance quite a bit, but we still had that mortgage hanging over our heads. So I'm chunking little shovels into this Grand Canyon, little $100 bills here and there. It feels like it's just going into thin air. But like the ant, like all my examples I'm giving, daunting task, if you just make a little every day, a little bit every day, keep chunking, keep chunking. Here we are today, mortgage paid off. As of 2 weeks ago, we paid our last bit of our mortgage. And I'll say by the grace of God, because the mathematically it was impossible with what I was making, having medical bills. Ava is a debt collector. Since she's been born for 10 years, bless her heart, she's been in and out of the hospital and had surgeries and had all kind of medical issues. So we've averaged $8,000 to $10,000 on some years out of pocket after our insurance pays their part. And then trying to chunk towards the mortgage and all that, it just didn't seem like mathematically it was even possible. And it wasn't. It was totally impossible. But we just kept on our diligent way, sacrificing not much eating out at all, and very seldom a vacation. You know, just like Brother John says, Alicia, you sacrifice to win. We did our part, but then God did his part. Amen. Because people would give us gifts, not thousands of dollars, just, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, and we didn't need it. So we chunk it at the mortgage, chunk it at the mortgage, chunk it at the mortgage. We still have a little bit of medical debt, so we're not technically debt-free, but we're mortgage-free as of a couple weeks ago. So thank the Lord for that. And that's our house where we currently live, our double-wide, which is double the size of our last house, pretty much double everything that we had. So to me, let me read this scripture, then I'll get on to that other example. God calls Cyrus, Isaiah 45, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Think about the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the revelation that's been made available to us. He'll give us that. And hidden riches of secret places, and that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. I didn't feel like some kind of champion when we paid off our mortgage. I cried, and I thought, Lord, we're like the Special Olympics. I got to see some of the children in the Special Olympics several years ago, and it really, really inspired me how they put so much effort. And everybody knows they're incapable of maybe competing against, fairly, you know, more athletic kid, normal kid or whatever, but yet they give it their all. Amen. And they try their best, and everybody just cheers for them because like they did something, you know. And that's how I felt at the end of that I gave my best, but God did what I couldn't do, you know. And sort of like Ruth in the story, and Ruth chapter 2, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose. Think about revelation of these mysteries. And leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And she brought home, I think it was an ephah of barley, which is 30 pounds. It's quite a bit for a little Ruth to carry, 30 pounds or 6 gallons. So my point is there that God makes up for our shortcomings.
Yes.
Like Ruth, she was just doing her best to reap, but they were leaving her these handfuls of purpose along the way, something that she couldn't do in herself. Daunting task, $1.2 million. That's a lot of money to make. I've made roughly $1.2 million at Fieldale, but that's been over 23 years. So how do you make $1.2 million? Dollar at a time. Started off there, $7 an hour. That was a big pay raise from Dairy Spot, making $5 an hour. But it's just been a dollar at a time. Never made $1,000 at a time. Never made $10,000 at a time. I've driven 1.2 million miles. That's a daunting task. Seems like a lot of miles. I never drove 1,000 at a time. Never drove 10,000 at a time. I drive 1 mile at a time, which is 50 trips around the earth, 2.5 trips to the moon. That's what it looks like. Driving is incredibly boring. No matter what you do, it's incredibly boring. There's no denying it. So that's driving. One thing fun, I wear a seatbelt, by the way. This was at a stop. I was at a farm. So I just love my job just because I get to spend time with the Lord. But it's incredibly boring. But anyway, 1 mile at a time is how you drive 1.2 million miles. Y'all are familiar with this. I'm going to have to close. But Brother Dale's quoted this over the years many times. Schofield's notes here. A mystery in Scripture is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but in which a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. And y'all can look at that list, and I say almost everybody in here knows something about some of those things because of the word that's been made revealed to you. And you just take that to heart and thank God for the word that's been revealed and just keep going, because in all these mysteries, there's more to be revealed. Brother Dale, our musicians, if you'll start making your way up here, please. This is Brother Dale from about 5 years ago, 2019, September 15th, on salvation, same material. If you can get to that point to understand what faith really is, then it'll be easy to be able to say add virtue, because it's the same material, all right? It's not a different material. It's the same material added to it. Virtue, the knowledge, will be the same material. Temperance, patience, godliness, it'll all be the same material. So you're not having to try to figure out if you'll just ever find out what faith really is and get that in your understanding, then you'll see that what these virtues really are. It's just adding faith to faith to faith to faith. Revelation to revelation. Daily bread. Here a little, there a little. Opening of God's word to each one of us. Brother Branham gives an example about an arcade in Jehovah Jireh number one. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I like to walk through, and like a big arcade, everything there belongs to me. I'm heir of every bit of it. I like to find out what I got. When you become a Christian, I want to know what I owned. If I had an arcade, I go through, pull out a drawer and see what's in here, and look over here, see what's in there. Something seemed a bit too high for me, I'd get me a stepladder and climb up to it. I find out what it was. Something seems a little beyond my reach, I get on my knees and start praying until I rise up to it. It belongs to me. God promised it. Divine healing, the power of God. Brother Wade and others have been talking about the power of God and all these materials or miracles, signs and wonders. He promised it. So again, knocking will be opened. Seeking you shall find. Oh yeah, number of chickens hauled, 65 million chickens. That's a lot of chickens for one little guy to haul by myself. We don't do team drivers. That's me, 65 million. So think about the tortoise and the hare. I like that example because if you've read the story of the tortoise and the hare, they were in a race. And the tortoise was not adequate to win that in his own power, but because of the pride of that hare, the tortoise being perseverant and just keeping on his daily bread, he finally won that race. So be the tortoise, don't be the hare. God bless you. Thank you. Amen.